It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. Ha ha. We are live and direct.
Word up.
From
New York City.
From New York City. Yeah. The tip top. We out here. Cheers. We out here in the conversation. What's good with you, brother?
Oh, man. Everything's good, man. Except for the shit that ain't good.
Yeah,
right. Know, that Kobe shit, you know.
That shit was something.
That shit is something. That's like, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of people reckoning with that, you know.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, just as a human, you know, for something like, for you to be headed out to a basketball game. And this shit happens every day. Mm-hmm. People head out and don't make it home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to be heading out in prime fashion and not make it across town,
mm-hmm,
is some bugged out shit with not only you, but, you know what I'm saying?
With your little one.
Your little one and other people and they little ones.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. That's something. You know, that's something, yeah. Yeah, rest in peace to everybody that was on that helicopter.
Everybody.
Highly unfortunate. Yeah, that's, yeah. What's, you know, what's so crazy though, one, just how the news broke, you know, like, just how random and sudden that shit was, and just how over the top the disaster was. You know what I mean? Like, I was washing dishes and I got a text in the group chat. My homie was like, "Yo, my son just called me, said Kobe just died in a helicopter accident." I'm like, "What? That shit don't even, you know what I mean?" Like, that sounds so far fetched. So I'm going on Twitter and, you know, it's slowly coming in. Nobody real has you know, verified it yet. And then I think Woj, the cat from ESPN, because my peoples was like, "Nah, when ESPN makes it, you know what I mean? When they verified that it's official."
Right.
So it was just, it was just so unfortunate, man. It was.
Yeah, the way I just saw somebody say R.I.P. Kobe. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like, that shit,
it. Yeah.
Like, come on, bro. Like, this what y'all doing out here on the internet?
I
thought it was like, you know what I'm saying? He must have got, thought he got crossed over, you know what I mean? Some shit. You know what I mean? Some shit like that.
Right.
Cancel culture, some shit. But not real, real RIP. So I jumped off the gram and went to the news report of Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, it was, the shit was slowly trickling in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, damn. No, but when they showed the picture of the smoke coming up from the helicopter thing, it was like, oh,
I haven't even seen all that.
That was just like the aftermath, like
a still photo.
No, it was like a video of like the first responders out there, and then, you know, you could still see the smoke rising up from the what was left of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, shit.
It's crazy because at the same time, as wild as it was also like, and I don't want it to sound, I don't want to sound crazy, but it sound like, I don't say the Kobe way to go out, but it was just spectacular fashion, like a helicopter. Like, you know, people look at Kobe as like a hero, like a superhero type. You know what I mean? Like, he was one of these people that, he was operating on 10 at all times. Like, he was trying to be the best, you know, not even on the low. Like, it was explicit. That was his motivation, is to be better than everybody, to give it his all. So, like, you know, he would go to the games in a helicopter. It's almost on some Bruce Wayne type shit.
Right,
you know what I mean?
I mean, if you got it, that is the best way to do it. Shit.
Right.
You jumping off over, you know what I'm saying, 2 hours of traffic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That means you don't really have to live right in the mix. You can stay further out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You get in the helicopter, go to work.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know.
I mean, I think LeBron hit the helicopter sometimes too. In LA,
I'm sure. Flying over. Have you ever been in a helicopter?
Yeah.
I think I had the opportunity one time to take a helicopter, and I want to say it might have been because the charge was a little crazy, but I was like, nah. We was going from, I want to say, Nice or Milan to Monte Carlo. Uh-huh. And they were like, yo, you could do it. We could drive and take X amount of time, or we could take this helicopter. Would it take, you know. And I was like, I don't think I'm fucking with this helicopter. I wasn't that excited about that. It just feels, always feels a little wobbly. It looked fly, but it always, you know, I don't know.
So, I mean, it's weird because a client of mine, her boyfriend, he's a helicopter pilot.
Okay.
And he's trying to put together this show about being a helicopter pilot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like one of my partners, he's down in Atlanta, so he's been up in the helicopter shooting with him, man. You know what I'm saying? Flying and shooting and shit. And I wasn't never that excited about, you know what I'm saying, getting in there and shooting with him.
You know what it is? I think I have been in a helicopter. No, I've been in a helicopter before. Oh, no, I've been in a very small fucking plane with the big-ass windows. That's the thing. Like, I'm not fucking with heights in the first place. Mm-hmm. The helicopters always had those big-ass windows, which is great aerial views, but it's exactly that. It's an aerial view. It's a view of what could be terror. You know what I mean? So, like, when I'm on a regular flight, you could always just put the little shit down and fucking zone out. Dissociate. Yeah.
I think you on some of the executive helicopters, you got that.
Mm-hmm,
okay. You got the bigger, like, they look like private plane windows, but
right.
But you can shut them down. Okay. But,
but go ahead. You helicopter. Want to go up.
Nah, I wasn't never excited about it. You know what I mean? They was like, yeah, we'll take you up. I was never like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was kind of like, yeah, okay. Yeah. But it's like a helicopter and even those small planes are things that you get on where you really ain't got no other choice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you land and you got this connected flight to this island, and they're like, well, this is your plane. You're like, ah, Lord.
Shit.
For real?
This look like a station wagon.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you flying from New York to fucking Norfolk, Virginia. And it's like, you know, you transfer in D.C. and then your plane out of D.C. is a little crop duster. And you're like, it got me. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, well, even, you know what I'm saying, people like to talk about private planes and shit like that. A lot of them shits are small.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, like your smallest commercial flights is like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is bigger than most private planes. Yeah. So it's like, when you hit them bumps in a private plane, it's, you know, you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we were in Dominican Republic one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like a group of us, and it was like a lot of producers, 12 producers. And so we were moving around the island.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at this one stop, it was like, okay, we got the private plane.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this chartered plane, which is like, you know, regular commercial prop. It was a little bigger than a crop duster, but still a crop duster with the propellers.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Big windows and propellers and shit.
Yeah.
But when you sit standing there, you got this choice. You're like, man, shit, that private plane look littler than a motherfucker.
Right.
I'm going to get in this crop duster. You know what I'm saying? But everybody that got in the private plane was like, man, that turbulence, woo. You know what I mean? Because
you went in the crop duster.
I went in the crop duster. Okay. Crop duster was a little more heavy, a little more sturdy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Than the private one.
Yeah.
And so they got off like, whew, she, that damn turbulence.
That shit make it lose its luster. Yeah, man.
But that is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, with planes, like, you fly planes, you know, we fly planes all the time.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to the point, I mean, I've, long time ago, coming out of Miami, the turbulence used to always be crazy going up and landing.
Okay.
Like taking off and landing, I'm not sure what the weather pattern is. Just always bumpy coming out and always bumpy coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was a airline. What was AirTran? It was a Value Jet.
Value Jet. Wow.
Value Jet, right? Where you had the cheap, it was probably like a $30 flight to Atlanta. That shit was like, ooh. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you going to get on the motherfucker.
Yeah.
But then Value Jet had a big crash.
Didn't they have like two?
They had one big one in 96.
Okay.
And it was the plane from Miami to Atlanta, one of them flights that I definitely would have been on.
Wow.
And that shit took off and crashed in the Everglades, and they ain't even find all the motherfuckers. They ain't even find the whole plane. You know what I mean?
That shit's crazy.
So, because it landed in the swamp. So it wasn't no way they could get in there with heavy equipment and shit. Right. So that shit was just, you know what I'm saying, underground. So after that, it was like, woo. Then you can't say, you know, I'm not going to fly ever again.
No, you got to get somewhere.
So once I decided, okay, I'm going to still fly, it was like, once I put the seatbelt on, I'm like, hey, man, shit, I'm up here now. I just got to release all that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Say
I'm
up a prayer. Here.
If it go down, I can't stop it from going down. So, shit, I done chose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it still never felt like, shit, I'm going to choose to get in this helicopter.
No.
I would have had to, you know what I'm saying? It would have had to be just, this is how we going.
It's the only way we could make it. Yeah, it's got to be something.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Or it's like somebody invites you and like, you know, hey, we going to the Hamptons. You know, we taking this helicopter.
Right.
Okay, let's see what it do.
You know, how long is the flight? Well, how long we in the air for?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, when I see they got, like, Uber helicopter, that definitely, I'm not fucking with that, because Uber is, I mean, if it's traditionally how regular, just somebody just grab a helicopter and take us on the flight.
Motherfuckers just can't grab a helicopter.
I mean, I think if you got a license.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but yeah,
I mean, and then you could. That's when you start really looking at the reviews and ratings.
Absolutely.
Like, how many trips this motherfucker has?
Yeah, what's going on?
Motherfucker, 4,000 hours.
I don't even know how to judge you. I don't even know 4,000 hours is enough hours.
Well, they were saying that the Kobe's pilot had 8,000 hours, which they were saying, what was it for? Might have been 8,000 hours, and they were like, that was a lot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So.
Man, yeah, man. Rest in peace to Kobe Bryant and everyone else on there. Gianna Bryant, everybody, all of the passengers. Such a fucking loss. Such a loss. Right, 1 year, damn near 1 year after, or just over 1 year after Nipsey.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my second thoughts. I was like, damn, LA going through it. You know what I mean? It's a tough time out there. You know, those are two huge figures.
I mean, Kobe was like the figure.
He was, you know what I mean? Shit, 20 years as a Laker. The guy. People, you know, and I don't think it's many. It hasn't been this probably in New York in a long time. Maybe Jeter or somebody like that. But Kobe was like, you like he was a figure that LA rallied around. Some people would argue that they were bigger Kobe fans than they were Laker fans.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No doubt.
That shit's wild.
I guess New York had its time though. You know what I'm saying? New York
back
had Biggie.
Day.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that you know what? And that was one of those that death hit me. I remember that because I mean I've spoken to quite a few people who this Kobe death has really impacted, especially people that were like big sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. They was devastated. Yeah. That's how I kind of felt when Big died. It was like, damn. You could just feel like the bit of the, like, the pulse. You know what I mean? Like, kind of, yeah, man, it's tough.
But what's good, though?
What's good? what is good, man? I'm chilling, man. We here. We getting it in. What is good? You know what was good? I saw, and I was talking about that day, actually, prior to all of this. I watched that episode of that recent episode of Power. I think they on a little back to back at least.
This was Tate.
This was the Tate episode. Come on, that's Lorenz Tate. So he's his actor.
He's a fucking actor, dog.
Yeah.
I had to give it up to him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
He held the whole shit.
Like he really plays his role across the board. You know what I'm saying? He play his devious shit.
He play his
you know what I'm saying? Smooth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Con artist shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? He played real cool, man.
Yeah.
I fuck with his performance in this. It's, you know what I mean? Without his story being one of the primary stories, I felt like this was the best of this last little run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, this was good.
All, because his acting was strong enough to carry it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Following Paz around, okay, you know, it was cool. She did her thing.
Right.
Tommy, with all the face acting, he did his thing. And, you know, he had help with the auntie and the little girl.
The mother,
you
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tate carried this bitch.
You know Tate did his thing. Tate moved. Yeah, it was a little
like a monologue. It was like a one man show.
He killed that shit. Yeah, it was good, man.
I thought what they had his brother in that shit.
I thought that was really dope. I thought that was really dope because they, you know, they brought that shit to it. That you could tell, you know, that real brotherhood.
Right.
You know, his brother though, he full of shit. You know what I'm saying? He could smell it. You know what I mean? I knew his brother was gonna light somebody up after that little gun range scene. I was like, okay, they lining you up. I love the little Cedric the Entertainer and his son vibe. I thought that was cool. I actually forgot to say that last week because I did notice. Did you notice Ced dead on the floor?
I noticed Ced. I mean, I thought it was Ced when they first played it and he got shot the first time. I'm like, that's Ced. But they never played it up, so I didn't pay no attention. But then when you saw him that dead, I'm like, damn, that's Ced the Entertainer came in just to play a dead man.
Right. Right, that's how I discarded it. I was like, is that there's no way Ced would come in just to be dead on the shit. But then it was a cool way to like Easter egg the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked, that, just that whole little vibe. You know, I don't know if it's just, these are people we familiar with, you know what I mean? Because that's also that too, not to discount anybody else's acting. Obviously, Larez Tate is a fucking movie star, at least a movie star. And he's been in some classic black shit.
Right.
Classic,
I mean, he old dog. He's, I mean,
he's
shit.
Old dog. He was in Love Jones.
Love Jones.
Mm-hmm. You know, Inkwell, if you were to go that far. But, you know, definitely Love Jones and Menace.
I mean, that's saying something. Not that, you know what I mean, that holds your career. And that, you know, I know motherfuckers want Oscars and shit like that. But he has two hood certified era defining as motherfucking flicks.
Yes.
Where he was a lead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Two go-tos.
Two. Like, you know what I'm saying? Most motherfuckers only get one. Nah, if that.
If that.
You know what I'm saying?
If that.
Shit. Like,
and those have been in the 90s.
Right.
But, and the shit still hold. The goodwill is still that strong.
Yeah, that's Essence Fest forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wasn't playing himself at Girls Trip. Because I was like, that wasn't that.
He was kind of.
He was kind of like, but no, he was a performer.
Yeah, he was a performer, but he was still kind of like the Love Jones cat.
Right. Mean? He was that guy. But yeah, I mean,
creative.
Like.
Creative.
I'm sure if he goes through Essence Fest, it's all love.
I mean, last time I was at Essence, he was there. They were promoting Girls Trip. And yes, it was all, was definitely all love.
So.
Shit. The motherfucker, the producer I was working with was like, we got to meet Larez Tate. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious.
We got to. I was like, I don't know.
I guess because you don't even know. I don't know anybody else in the world named Larez. That's like a Beyonce name. Like Larez Tate. Like, you know what I mean? Got to be Tate on the shit, so that was fire.
Yeah.
Ced similar in his own way. Ced beloved. You know what I mean? He always, you know, as a comic, his vibe has always been like, it's just like, I don't want to say wholesome because it ain't wholesome, but it's just, it is kind of wholesome in the way, like Ced, one of the comedians that your grandmother could laugh at him and young kid, like, you know what I mean? Like, he don't really alienate too many people. His shit is very broad. It's very encompassing.
He Uncle Ced.
He's definitely wild familiar. He brings characters in your life to life. You know what I mean? His whole, you know, the whole bit with the nigga with the cigarette that don't never come out of his mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's just all his shit. So it's just like, you know, he's got that goodwill.
Like the nigga he was in Chris Rock's movie.
Yeah. Yo, he's a stain sealer because he killed it in Top 5.
Top 5. It was like this guy that he played in Power was almost like a version of that guy. It felt the same. It was two different kind of hustlers, but you know what I'm saying? Definitely... somebody who's supposed to be a serious street person that's wild, funny, and just turn out to be your Uncle Sid.
Yeah. I felt like on this Power, though, he was a little bit more, like, straight ahead, like, a little bit more reserved. He was definitely, like, I mean, he had his moments when he blasted the Conway Twitty. I had to go Shazam that shit because he sold that. I was like, yo, this is a hard record. What's this? But, yeah, man, that was a great little addition to the shit. So, yeah, overall, I'm trying to think what else happened to it. I mean, it was, gave you everything you wanted.
Yeah,
you
know, gave you all the shit, man. You know, again, it was still wild, motherfucking, how the fuck he do all this shit in a day and a half, but.
Time management in the Power Universe amazing.
It's like, man, come on.
These motherfuckers get it done. Yeah, man.
So, you know, yeah, it's just wild. But it's okay. It's good shit. It's good shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, who we got left? Tariq?
Yeah, Tariq left. Got Tariq left. You got Tasha left.
But one episode, right?
It was only one more episode. Oh, January 5th, huh? Is that the last one? January 5th? February 5th. That's the final episode? Is this the final episode coming up?
I don't know. I think so.
I think it might be. All right, well, shit. Because, again, I didn't see the little spoiler, and I'm still...
Yeah,
I'm
no, oh, yo. That,
I'm still trying to, yeah, I'm yeah, still yeah, trying to be cool. Unspoiled in the world. So I was saying there would still be a Tasha episode and a Tariq episode. I guess they're going to hybrid them shits.
Yeah, it had to be. All together.
The family episode.
Tasha, Tariq, and
the baby.
And
the unnamed baby.
The USA.
Who?
The attorney nigga.
Sax. Oh, right. Sax was on his way there, too. Okay. Yeah. Right. Sax is crazy ass.
Right.
It'd be ill if it was Sax. That would be ridiculous, but it would, you know, he was so bugged out.
But this is the curious thing about this episode.
What's this? This episode?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Why the fuck was he at his brother's house so long?
What you mean?
He went there because he was drunk at the bar. Okay, right. His brother came, got him.
Right.
But that nigga was there, you know what I'm saying, 3 more days or however
was
long.
Was he there that long?
Yeah, he went. Why the fuck he went back there a couple more times? Like, you know what I'm saying? You could have took your ass home. You wasn't drunk no more.
Yeah, he wasn't
drunk. You
could have
went drunk the next morning. You could have went home the next morning.
Yeah.
So that was curious. Like,
I thought that was all one day. I didn't catch that. I thought that was like later on that evening.
It was like 2 days. Cause he gave him some clothes the next day. He did all that shit. Then he came back. I don't know, man. It still was too long for him to, cause after he shot the dude, after the dude got shot, then he woke up there again when the Democratic motherfuckers came to see him.
No. He came back.
Who came back? He was there the whole episode. He ain't go home. He ain't got no home. He went home at the end at the hotel with the old girl.
Right. Or because she got him a little spot.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe he's
homeless. I just think he's homeless.
He might be homeless. You know what? Oh, I'll tell you what. I remember that bugged me out. I wrote a note about this shit. I've never seen an up-and-coming politician get that much love in the street. I ain't never. He was in that little coffee shop. It's like, oh, shit, that's Tate. Shorty was trying to take the photo on the low. Everybody, I was like, man, oh, shit. We were talking about you in our government class today. You on the verge ass fucking politician.
City council.
Yeah, we was talking about you in our college class.
You know your city council?
No. Well, do I? No. I'm actually supposed to be doing some type of city council event, like a little benefit, performing at a benefit for... I forget his name. He's a black dude, though. That I'm not gonna lie, that weighed heavy above a decision. But I don't know his politics.
Right.
He could be fucking against everything that I stand for.
Right.
It's not an endorsement, it's a spot. But yeah, I don't really know any. I know I don't know if he's a city councilman. I did like a representative or something. I got a cat that lives in my building that is like politician, right. So I know him, you know what I mean,
right.
But I don't even, you know,
I mean, they not that famous.
Mm-mm.
I was shooting a guy running for city council,
right,
in New Rochelle.
Uh-huh.
And when the shit washed out in the fan, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't that many motherfuckers that voted for the shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was one.
Either way.
It was one. Yeah, it was like, you know, one part of town. It was only 19 motherfuckers showed up.
Ooh.
But, you know what I'm saying? But then, you know.
Oh, you covered the whole election poll?
I didn't come in. I didn't come in until the end. So it was like, you know, shooting the run up to the election. And then after it was over, you know what I'm saying? I was just checking in, see how I went. You know what I'm saying?
They were
what
was the turnout?
You know, the turnout wasn't that good. And, you know, it was like, damn, shit, 19 motherfuckers? I think on the whole, it might have been, you know, hundreds. You know what I'm saying? Not even thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's local shit. I mean, I think the last local person that has been hot like that is probably AOC. You know what I mean?
Who?
Alexandria Ocasio, AOC, Cortez. AOC, you know AOC from the shorty from Queens.
I don't know her.
Really?
But I don't follow the shit either.
Yeah, but I don't really follow it either. But she's kind of like, she's made it to where she's kind of popping. She's big on Twitter. There's a whole thing. They got this thing called the Squad where it's some other women that she's down with. Elon Omar or whatever.
Did she end up going?
Don't get me to start lying. I got to go to Google to tell you all that. But she's cool with Bernie now. Mm-hmm. Like, she's, you know, she's funny on Twitter sometimes. She used to be a bartender.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
But I think I heard this story before.
You've seen her before. She's been on Desus and Mero. You know what I mean? Like, she's out here doing press and shit. Okay. Like, she done had some beef with Trump. Not to say that anybody.
Everybody had beef with Trump.
Speaking of which, I caught a little glimpse of that impeachment thing today with the Republican side, you know, doing their little retort, and these niggas is trying to gaslight the public, dog. Like, look, man, we trying to rule in favor of the Constitution, not any partisan business, blah, 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 da, 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 da. We need to throw these articles out immediately. Like, come on, dude.
I mean, that's what it's for, ain't it? Yeah. Your side's supposed to represent your side.
Yeah, man. It's just so, like, I appreciate the explicit bias of politics. You know what I mean? But it's so in your face. It's so, like, look, man, these people are the people I got to look out for. We got to understand it. So it is what it is. I hate to, you know, this shit might not make any sense.
Gangbanging.
Yeah. But these are my colors.
No doubt. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's gangbanging, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like a defense attorney, you know what I'm saying? You know this nigga guilty.
Yeah.
You got to represent him. And you got to win if you want your career to thrive.
Right, right. You need that W.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to thrive, you're going to keep some guilty motherfuckers on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how you get business.
You know what I'm saying?
Tell your friends, fire.
And even your enemies.
Yeah, tell everybody, exactly.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Get off without snitching.
Mm-hmm.
Blood, cuz.
He know all of the shakes. You know the signs and shit. Shit. Oh, you okay?
No doubt. Speaking of signs and shapes and shit.
What's up?
It's Grammys.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Rock Nation Brunch is always a fan favorite on the social media.
Right, right. Who made it, who didn't make it.
Who make it, who didn't make it, who had on what. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just, that has taken over the zeitgeist of Grammys, how the Clive Davis party used to take over before social media.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now Clive, you know what I mean? His shit probably still happening. It's still all of the most powerful people in the game, mm-hmm. but... You know, ain't no real social media behind it.
It ain't lit on the gram.
It ain't lit. You know what I'm saying? It's all the motherfuckers nobody knows and nobody, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, you do have artists there and all that shit, but it's mostly the power brokers of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, now I was just, you know, wondering if you checked out any of the Grammy festivities on.
I saw a little bit. I think between the Kobe crash and I had shows that night. So I missed a lot of the Grammys because I had to go do a show. But I caught a little bit of the Rock Nation shit on the gram, as you know, that's where you're going to get it. So I was happy I see Griselda at the brunch. You know, obviously they Rock Nation anyway, but it was just kind of cool to see their ascent.
I didn't see it. I saw Conway
looking clean with the little red situation.
Like burgundy, deep burgundy looking. I mean, Like, that's a color that I probably wouldn't wear. But I probably should.
Okay.
Like, if you want to, you know what I'm saying, like, stand away from the crowd. Yeah. It's like a, you know what I'm saying, it's like a real gangster color. It's like a
bold choice.
It's a Barry White scenario. Yeah. It's a, you know what I'm saying? He look good. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm like an old uncle in the hood. Like, shit, boy, you look good, boy.
Nah, it was special. I seen a few little moves. I seen definitely a lot of people didn't do the standard black, gray, and blue, which is conservative. I think
the Roc Nation brunch has
a dress code.
No, it doesn't have a dress code. I think the culture of it has come to a place where it's almost like an Easter Sunday type of situation. Because it's very colorful.
It's definitely colorful.
It's always colorful. It's like Jay-Z always rep a bold, wild, a mauve. Pastel.
He had a mauve. Yeah. Did you see the little clip?
Yeah. Mauve. And then last year he had on, was it green or like a...
Might have had a little green.
Like a mint green or some
little
shit.
Little mint pastel.
So it has almost become like an Easter Sunday scenario.
Uh-huh.
So if I do see somebody in a black or a gray, it'd be like, you ain't even try.
It's the Met Gala for the culture.
You just pull some shit you already had.
Right. Yeah, you nigga, that's a funeral suit. You just wore that last month.
Roc Nation brunch has kind of got to a point where you have to come with your custom fit.
Yeah, I see T.I. out there, the little mustard situation.
Yeah.
I seen the kid from Pierre Moss, the Kerman or whatever. He had a cool little, like a little yellow with a green turtleneck. Like it looked like... It had a lot of vibe, like, from the old Fat Albert. You know how Fat Albert, them cats would be laid out with the shit? Yeah, it was official. It was cool.
So I think I think the color scheme that they used was the shit that Nipsey and Lauren had on last year, which he had on, like, a deep burgundy type of color.
But he had, like, a blue piece.
Nah. He had
Yeah. Real regal.
Yeah. He is almost, It was like a burgundy type of piece.
Yeah.
So I think, and then she had on like a pink, I think. So I think the flowers and all that whole color was in that color scheme. And then they had a that picture from them at the Roc Nation brunch last year on the wall.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was dope. You know what I'm saying?
Where was it at? You know?
It's somewhere Beverly Hills.
Like a nice little piece of land. Like it was a lot of photos.
It was the same place
it
was last year, though.
Yeah, the photos had it looking like they was on a plane. On a veranda. Some shit. Yeah, something you know with some space.
No, it's definitely a place somewhere in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
I've never been.
No.
But I was in the environment last year, so, you know, I knew it wasn't like at their house. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's like somewhere where they do it.
Yeah.
And, it's beautiful. Landscape, beautiful. You know, since always, you know, that theme of black excellence.
Right.
Puffy always do his toast.
You know, Kevin Hart get his toast off.
Kevin Hart gets his in.
Uh-huh. Swiss.
Yeah, you know I mean, yeah, always, you know what I mean? They always had that same circle of friends.
Yeah.
Of moneyed friends, billionaires, and upcoming wannabe billionaires.
I think that's what it becomes too. Yeah, it's the upcoming. We're trying to get closer to the circle. Like Meek is ascending in the circle.
Yeah.
I see Casanova still in that bitch.
Casanova stay in the mix.
It's interesting to see, like, it becomes like almost like the All-Star game. It's like back to back to back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Oh, nigga ain't make it this year.
Nigga ain't get voted in.
Yeah, shit.
Casanova is interesting.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I was in the mix last year at the Grammys shooting. And that was my first time being around him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for a cat that, you know, raps the type of music that he raps.
Yeah.
That comes from where he comes from and still kind of holds down that space.
Right.
And reps that space and keeps that same circle.
Yeah.
Around him. He's very affable. He's very, you know what I'm saying? You know, he knows how to, you know what I'm saying?
Play a room.
Get in where he fit in, play the room. Big ass smile. You
gregarious
know what I'm
gangster.
Yeah.
No, I see it too. Yeah. That's the shit that'll rock you to sleep, though. You think it's all good. Smile is a mile wide.
He ain't no little motherfucker, first of all. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then he's still, you know what I'm saying, muscle bound.
Right.
About 6'3".
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He laughing and all that shit, but you really ain't finna. You know what I mean? Plus, it's still a bunch of goons around.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? So, I like the way he move, you know what I'm saying, inside the space. Because a lot of cats, they don't know how to make that transition. It take a lot for a cat to make that transition sometimes. And,
yeah.
And when you put, it's a lot of times that cats are comfortable right. in a street space, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where you understand the rules and you understand that the things that come with it and you feel very comfortable in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And this is beyond rappers. This is just in general in life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then when you get to a place where you start growing out of that and you have to move into different rooms, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of cats can't make that transition in real life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of cats with all of the gangster shit that they pop, all of the guns they got, all of the ass they whoop,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? It's still a fear of being in a place where you're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And going in a place, it might even just be a restaurant. Ain't nothing but some, you know what I'm saying, some waiters, waitresses, and chefs, and
cloth,
you know what I'm saying,
tables.
Bartenders, and man, I don't know about that. You know,
trying to do that,
yeah. You know, and it's very uncomfortable, yeah. And it's a fear that's associated with it.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying, but it's a few cats that can easily make those types of transitions,
mm-hmm.
and he seems to be making that transition with ease, without
yeah.
fear.
Yeah, and I think with that happening, I think he might be the, I want to say, kind of like the Sherpa for other cats
right.
that want to make it. You know what I mean? Make that crossover. What
right.
Yo, because, you know, it's so funny, man. Being uncomfortable is, I remember Bruce Lee said his whole goal was to make being uncomfortable comfortable. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like they always say that, you know, the best of your life is right outside your comfort zone. You know what I'm saying? Because it's very easy to do what you're familiar with. You know what I'm saying? To, you know, you already know what to expect.
Right.
I think that's really what it is. The uncomfortable shit, you don't know what to expect. I got shit. I have issues with that. Like just, and you got to be honest about that shit. You know what I'm saying? You have to embrace all of that. You know what I mean? Because it's probably for the best. Everything mm-hmm. that you're afraid of, you should kind of move towards that because that's growth. That's you taking it to another level. And then when you get to that other side, you realize, damn, that shit really wasn't, it wasn't really shit. That was anxiety. That was some shit that I was just, most of that shit was fantasy. That was going on in my head. You
right.
know what I mean? I'm not looking crazy. You know, because that shit, like, yo, nigga, I don't want to look crazy. Like, that shit is such a statement, but it's like, what does that even mean? But,
right.
you know, you got to challenge yourself, man.
Right.
You got to challenge yourself. You know, I remember Bev told me a long time ago, you gotta be able to play on every level. That's what's impressive.
Right.
When you could move and shake, you could, you know what I mean? You could be comfortably in this room and in that room and, you know what I mean? And then still be who you are, still bring your,
right.
your authentic self to all of those places. So I always like to see that. I always like to see cats that
right.
are, you know, that embrace evolving, you know what I mean? Embrace leaving, you know, the dumb shit behind. Not even just
right.
the dumb
I mean,
shit, but just,
not
you
that
know.
You leave it behind, because some of that shit be still right there in your mix, you know
mm-hmm,
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's like you're not afraid to step aside from it,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And get in the mix and do your thing. But then it comes a point where you grow and you,
right.
you're in it long enough
right.
to where you're there. It's not even a question whether or not you're there, but are you willing to leave the dumb shit behind?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I thought about when I saw the clip of Meek Mill
oh, right.
in the mall with Nikki and, well, in the store with Nikki and,
mm-hmm.
the other, and her new man.
Right. He handled that well.
What's the name?
Kenneth Perry?
Zubang.
Oh, is that his name?
Well, that's the street.
Petty.
Zubang.
Zubang, all right.
Big Zoo.
Shout out to that man.
You know what I'm saying? He handled it well, but it's kind of like, to even be in that situation, it's almost like, man, you should just throw your hands at these motherfuckers and keep it moving, man.
Yeah.
Because you got too much shit. You done got everybody on your side. It don't take but one slip
right.
for you.
It's almost like a qualification exam.
Right.
Like, let me see how committed you are to this journey. We're gonna put together. It's like Punked.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For the streets.
It's like, you old bitch ass nigga. Should I respond? You a bitch ass nigga.
As well. You know what I'm saying? Hit him with the as well. That's when you know he's changed on him.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, man, just dip, my nigga.
That don't mean shit.
What you going back and forth with these motherfuckers for, man? First of all y'all rich, man.
In a boutique,
man. Come keep on. That shit moving, on, man. Nigga. Then you hear Nikki in the background, you bitch ass nigga.
Like, that's the worst. You know what I'm Young Gasoline.
You know what I'm saying? She throwing fuel on the shit. You got to go, man. You know what I'm saying? Where is your people, man? Your people should be like, man, let's get the fuck from around this shit.
Right.
Get the fuck from around this shit.
This
man,
is not the move.
This ain't it, man.
This is not the move.
You got to call in one of them silent moves.
This is a strike. They're trying to take you down. We can get through it.
Cause now you on record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now even if you try to make a silent strike, they got you on record. Well, they were beefing.
Mm-hmm. He clearly called him a bitch ass nigga from across the boutique.
Right. And you know, and Nikki chimed in, bitch ass nigga.
That's the worst.
That's why you gotta stop fucking with these people, man.
Yeah, man.
That's the
but
worst.
But I thought it was a good lesson. They should show that to young kids. So, you know what I mean? Like, don't let your ego get to you. Now, you see this. Now, this is two bitch-ass niggas in. Now, if you notice, Meek has yet to relent. He has not turned. Again, this is self-restraint. We need to really study this.
The restraint was that he didn't jump all the way in.
He ain't wild out.
But, you know what I'm saying, he still was there. Now, it could have been he ain't jumping in because, you know, that other motherfucker is gangster him motherfucker self. And rep some type of gangs too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which, you know, hey, you know what I'm saying? Which is par for the course.
Right.
So you might have to think, but you don't want to look like a bitch. You know what I'm saying?
And then what's the win?
Ain't no win.
There ain't no win.
You going to the Rock Nation brunch, man.
Yeah.
You about to win all the off rip.
I saw the memes. It might not have been pointedly at that, but it was like, yo, I'm going to the Rock Nation Plus. I ain't going to fight a nigga with ACGs on.
Not to say the bad hat on.
No,
ACGs.
No, that's what I'm saying. Ain't pointing.
But
ain't pointing at that man, but.
Yeah.
That's man. A different level of conflict. ACG conflict versus hard bottom conflict. You know what I mean? Right. It's a different way of how you know.
And it's funny that Rock Nation brunch has become what it is because it's like. Maybe three times over since the weekend, somebody has said to me, next year you're going to be at that Rock Nation, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're going
to. Ceremony.
Like, and I'm like, for real? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that ain't even nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's not an aspiration to be at the brunch, right?
Well, let's talk about
it. And you know what I'm saying? But it is an aspiration to do the work to get yourself invited.
Right.
Because. You know, how I explain this shit is like, man, we've been going to the events for the last, 20 years. You know what I'm saying? The events. Like, if I really wanted to go to Rock Nation brunch, you know what I'm saying? You could whoop, 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 and get in the motherfucker.
Right.
But that ain't even the point.
The point is
doing the motherfucking shit in the culture to where motherfuckers feel like you need to be there.
Right.
Whether you go or motherfucking not.
Where you requested. Where you invited. Right. Where you finagle. It's a
where you finagle or you finessed or even if you got the invite just because of a pre-existing relationship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's different tiers of the invite.
Because I'm sure it was plenty of finesses in there.
Of course.
Plenty of industry friends.
Of course.
Plenty of, you know what I mean? It's a lot of that. You could do that. That ain't even the thing. The thing is to do the work that you set out to do and get the
summons,
acknowledgement from your peers or the powers that be.
Right.
And I don't even know if that even comes out of the Rock Nation brunch for the shit that I do. You know what I'm saying?
Never know.
You know what I mean? Like that's a double crossover.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it ain't really music. I ain't really music right now. So it's like, you know, it had to.
They just fuck with what you did with the land.
Exactly. So that's how you want to end up at the Rock Nation, bro.
Right. And that's the beauty of it. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Now, let me ask you this. You at the Roc Nation brunch, right? We say you at the Roc Nation 2021. You there?
Yes, sir.
Walk through. First off.
First of all.
Are you, let's talk about where you first get the invitation.
Okay.
Get the invitation. Boom. Ooh, okay.
Black car. Okay.
Oh, shit. All right, fair enough. I guess I'm going to go. Who you calling to get your styling situation?
I'm calling Rachel Johnson. Who the fuck else I'm calling? I don't know nobody else that, you know what I'm saying, knows me enough.
So you are going to seek assistance.
I am going to seek assistance. I already know how to fuck. You know what I'm saying?
How open are you going to allow yourself to be style-wise? Are you going to take any chances?
Oh, I got to take all the chances.
All the chances.
Yes, if you can't go in a black suit, you can't go in a motherfucking gray suit.
Sean with just a blazer and no shirt?
Not those kind of chances.
Okay, those are chances.
But see the person I call going to know who I am. They know what you know what I'm saying? And they going to know how to tell my story through some elaborate art.
Right.
It might have, you know, I might take more chances with the color.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? More chances with the cut. But I'm never going to go YG or, you know what I'm saying, Lil Uzi Vert on them.
Okay. Well, how would you describe that to me, please?
Well, YG's Grammy outfit was kind of like.
See, you told me about this.
Kind of like a very tight pant.
Okay.
With a oversized
blazer,
fluffy sweater blazer, sweater vest, sweater something.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Kind of fluffy. I don't know if it was chinchilla or you know, but it was fluffy.
It was some shit.
Uh-huh. It was fluffy with a deep V.
Ooh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And some chokers.
Mm-hmm. And just love some chokers.
And then that's the new shit. Like, but I ain't no new nigga. So
right.
I can't do that. I'm just saying that's what I can't do because that's not comfortable for me.
Okay.
And he had a white dress shoe. Yeah. How would you describe that sweater?
It's a zebra print.
Cardigan, fluffy.
Cardigan with no shirt underneath. That's what make it look deeper because it's just straight flesh underneath.
Right. It's a zebra print fluffy cardigan.
With a fuchsia colored fade with definitely a tight rock star jean and a good old white boot.
It's definitely West Coast rock star.
It's definitely Motley Crue, White Snake. You know what I mean? YG been on that though. He be trying to he be swinging for the fashion.
Right. So I can't go in that direction. I'm gonna go more in the route of old school player, Barry White-esque.
What's that mean?
Just very, Conway went in that direction, but I gotta go, I gotta be a little, you know what I'm saying? A little fresher.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So,
look, what you mean fresher? Explain what you're
saying. I just mean, like, it had to hit a little harder when you walk in the room. I'll be like, ooh, who the fuck is that?
Okay, so you want that.
I need that.
You need that smoke.
Yeah, if you're gonna go, you got to go.
You gotta turn ahead.
That's very out of the box for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not something I do on a daily.
Are you comfortable with turning ahead with your
I am. I have that character within me.
Okay.
I have that person within me.
Yes, I am.
I have him within me. Okay. He's been dormant.
Okay.
Probably since the 90s.
Ooh.
But
wake him up.
But he's the motherfucker that's in you that's like, you know what I'm saying, nigga, let's do this shit. I talked to him. He is a creative force in my life.
Right.
There's a few motherfuckers that live within me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what I figured out in this shit is that, okay, you got your guy who's very about the work. Let's do the work, Muhammad. Then you got your guy who is that guy that's wild and fun and like, let's show these motherfuckers what we made of.
Let's peacock on them.
You know what I'm saying?
Give them something.
Let's get these motherfuckers what they came to see.
Mm-hmm. Here come the show. What I'm
saying? And then you got the motherfucker who was kind of like the responsible Joe, who was like, you know, hey guys, you know, I know you like to work all the time, but we have a family here. And then you got, you know what I'm saying? I know you want to have fun, Mr. Guy, but listen, let's calm this shit down. We don't have the budget for that. You know what I'm saying? And those three motherfuckers, they fight. They fight it out. Mm-hmm. But what was missing in my whole thing, when I just came up with this shit this morning.
Okay.
The motherfucker that was missing it's the manager of all of those three that can kind of pull all of them together and tell this motherfucker when to go, that motherfucker when to go, and kind of control the environment and set it up in a way where everybody can move harmoniously instead of fighting against each other.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So in that case, we're going to Roc Nation Brunch. The manager of these motherfuckers is like, oh, no. Oh, you got to. Oh, this your time.
This is your
platform. This your time.
Yeah, it's your platform.
You know what I'm saying? You'll show these, you know what I'm saying? You got to lead the way.
No need to be subdued.
No need to be subdued. Don't let the, you know what I'm saying, the, you know, the accountant hold you down. Mm-hmm. Don't let worker B hold you down.
Right.
Go out there and get it so we can get it.
Okay.
Then we'll put the work in the motherfucking accountant to the work after
right.
that.
Right, right.
You know what I'm
saying?
Right.
But we'll follow it up. Don't worry.
Yeah. But so, but now we got to show these motherfuckers.
Yeah, we
got
to be seen.
So that's how I would come. Okay. I definitely so would now, let it
so,
let it flow.
So you're going to go, you're going to let them, you're going to be exuberant mm-hmm. about your tailoring.
Exuberant. Magnificent.
Magnificent. Opulent.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Now when you walk in the spot,
uh-huh.
okay, you win the spot.
Yes, sir.
Exuberantly tailored.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Turning heads. Who that? What's going on?
Bird.
They go Hov and Kevin Hart and mm-hmm. Swiss. Diddy and Inner Sanctum over mm-hmm. there and Meek. Mm-hmm. What's your play? Is it a beeline? Is it a coy wrap around? Is it? Because now, wait. Now okay. You were summoned.
Okay.
This ain't a finesse. This ain't a finagle. This is Ali Muhammad has arrived.
No doubt.
How are you negotiating your movement to the inner sanctum? Or talk to me.
I'm gonna shake a few hands first along the way.
On the
outer
ring.
So it's not gonna be a beeline.
Okay. On the outer ring.
It's gonna be a okay. What? Oh, man. Long time.
Step and repeat.
Definitely step and repeat. Okay. I mean, I don't know if they're going to shoot me, but it's
why
okay.
Not?
But I'm going to be looking. I believe enough they're going to be like.
Step and repeat?
I will be.
Okay. Go for it.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you hit the step and repeat. You know what I mean? Because uh-huh. it's going to look like, I don't know who this motherfucker is.
Uh-huh.
But goddamn.
He look like he should be here.
This nigga need to be shot.
Get him.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you go in.
Uh-huh.
And by the way you look, your motherfucker's going to want to shake your hand.
Right.
So you're going to shake some hand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to give some hugs.
Right.
You're going to long time, no see, let's catch right. up, that, connect, what I brought.
Right.
Where you been, what the bloop, what that, whoop.
Gotcha.
And then you're going to work your way around, and the inner sanctum going to see you.
Now, okay.
They're going to be like, who that? They ain't gonna make no moves. They ain't gonna be too obvious.
Uh-huh.
But you're gonna catch an eye catching an eye.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
What's the question?
Okay, now we still inter sanctum walking over.
Yeah, we still making our way over.
Now let me ask you this. Are you going unaccompanied to the inner sanctum, or are you using one of your peripheral conduits, or are you gonna just thug it out, say, hey, Lon, now they summon me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to walk up to Young Hov,
mm-hmm.
Young B,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Peace. You know what I mean? What's your opening? What you talking about?
Well, how you greeting these people? Well, Quincy Jones once said.
Oh, shit. To you?
When you're making magic, you got to let God in the room.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You got to let God in the room.
Let God in the plane.
Yeah. So as you moseying over, God is going to intercede.
Okay.
So
what's God doing for you?
There may be somebody be like, you know what? Let me go ahead and take you over here to hoe.
So you're going to.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. Now, if I make it over to the inner sanctum and it's just me on mm-hmm. my own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go and make sure that I let the motherfucking powers that be, the host and the motherfucking, you know, king and the queen.
Give me your spiel. Let me hear it.
I don't know my spiel yet.
I'm just
shit,
saying
I don't
we
even fucking know.
Let me
I don't
hear the
know
spiel.
My fucking spiel. First of all, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Appreciate you having me in your space.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? How you doing, queen? You know what I'm saying? Appreciate you having me in your space.
Peace.
You know what I'm saying? Then I don't know what has happened from there. It depends on the response. The response, you know what I'm saying? And then you play off the response.
Okay.
And then you let the other motherfuckers in the inner sanctum
now,
see
are you
dealing with the motherfucking powers that be.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And whether they fuck with you or not, right. then that's on them.
Right.
Because me, how I am now, how it would be then, is that I ain't got to know everybody in the motherfucker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But if you go to the Roc Nation brunch, I would imagine... especially if you were invited. You gotta have words with Hov. And
that's first and foremost.
It may even be, but definitely words with Hov.
Right.
So you can't not go. I would feel like my own mind, if I'm getting in my black car at the end of the brunch,
mm-hmm.
I done had, you know what I mean, had some eggs, it's just poached eggs, a couple little turkey links.
Couple of,
you know what I mean? Little French toast
chicken
bites.
Chicken wing,
you know what
and
mean?
Waffle,
you know
what scenario.
Yeah, little Bellini. I got a little Bellini tipsy mm-hmm. on, you know what I'm saying? Feel a little light in the, you know what I mean? In my sway, it's a little sway. I can't wait to sit down in this motherfucking black car. But I know I'd feel a way if I didn't make contact with young Hov.
No, that's first and foremost.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Your whole journey through the crowd is to get to, you know, ahead and, you know what I'm saying, give props to the motherfucker right. who had you here.
Take attendance.
You know what I'm saying? I'm present.
I'm here in the building.
Muhammad Peace. Is present.
You see me.
You know what I'm saying? Not even that. Not that you see me. Appreciate you for having me.
I appreciate gratitude.
Everybody
that.
Else, y'all see me.
You see
y'all
me.
See me over here.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because the reason I'm here is because these motherfuckers seen the shit that I had did anyway.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? That's who this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker fresh as fuck. He fly than a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to speak to him. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. the motherfucker that you don't need to know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
The haters.
The motherfucker that you ain't even a hater. It's just
nah,
like,
it's
you know what I'm saying? Yo, they not for you. And that's just how it is. When you go in the room, I don't feel like you got to know everybody. I ain't got to meet everybody. I ain't got to know... I don't care if they the biggest motherfuckers. I ain't got to know them
right.
if they ain't for me. I know it. When I walk in the room, I know it.
But if I go out my way not to meet you, then it feels like there's a bit of hate in your heart.
Yeah,
or
I
low,
mean,
low, low, the insecurity.
Oh, I mean, you might not even see all that, man. It ain't none of that, man.
No. I'm not saying you see all that. But I mean, if I'm somebody and I say, oh, look at this motherfucker over there fresh and shit. Fuck that motherfucker.
Man.
That's hate. It's that's
my,
insecurity.
It's my job to
stay
say
open.
What up. I'm going to say what up to Hov. I'm going to say what up to Diddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to shake Swiss hand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then the rest of that, you know, it's mm-hmm. going to be what it's going to be.
Shitting on Kevin Hart. You ain't going to give him no play.
Oh, young mm-hmm. Kevin. Yeah, most definitely. I ain't, you know what I'm saying? I just didn't think on him a little freestyle right there. Yeah, young Kev. I'm going to give him, you know what I'm saying? Because
right.
we 1 degree separated.
Let me ask you this. How many brunches does it take to you start your own toast? To you say, hold on, fellas. I just want to say something. Tink, clink, 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 clink. Well, what brunch are we on? We going brunch? Inaugural brunch?
It ain't brunch, it's budget.
you don't feel like you can't speak if you, you
nah,
know what I mean?
I ain't speaking. I ain't speaking to my budget.
Even
to
if
my
you
budget
got some shit
up.
To say something.
Nah, if my budget line up, I'll speak. That's why you don't see, you know what I'm saying?
You don't
see half of these motherfuckers speaking, man.
Niggas got some shit to say, but they ain't.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of niggas in that circle, been in that circle for years.
Yeah.
They ain't, you know what I'm saying? It ain't your place to be speaking if you ain't your budget ain't hitting Billy or approaching it.
Yeah, because inspiration is definitely in line with aspiration. You know what I mean? Like niggas definitely gauge how inspired they are based on with
Who the fuck is this motherfucker? You could have the most empowering shit to say.
I seen that nigga on the train.
You had to be invited to give a speech
yeah.
in order for niggas to listen to you.
Hilarious.
Without the Billy budget
yeah.
attached to your name. You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Man.
Them motherfuckers done put in a lot of work to be who the fuck they is, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A nigga like Puff, you know what I'm saying? I done said this shit a whole bunch of times on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
This motherfucker opened up the door for niggas like me to even
yeah.
make real money in entertainment. You know what I'm saying? In a black space as far as motherfuckers wanting to fuck with you. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like I say this like when with the black woman renaissance, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like Shonda Rhimes kicked the door open for black women to tell their stories on this platform. So you got the Issa Rae's and you got the Lena Waithe's and you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like you got the Ava's, you know what I'm saying? Ava was putting in her own work, but Shonda Rhimes was hitting it at a level that, you know what I'm saying, kicked
right.
that shit open, right?
Mm-hmm.
So between Twitter and Shonda Rhimes, black women in Hollywood have a strong situation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like you had to recognize when motherfuckers have done that. Puffy did that shit for niggas from my era. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like when Martin was the man, and you know what I'm saying, Def Comedy Jam was cracking, and Russell Simmons was doing his thing and making that shit cool to just fucking be who you are.
Right.
But when Puffy came in and was working inside of a company as an employee, but a young, black,
right,
wild, and getting it in and showing the culture and doing the culture, and that shit was winning. Every other company felt like, hey, man, we need some of these young black motherfuckers in here, too. You know what I'm saying? And so,
you know what I'm saying? We need a wild Negro.
We need the young black mind in here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you come in the game and you fresh, you just get a little job. You ain't even got no real job. You just get a little job, and they throw you a corporate card and, right, and say, go and make shit up and, you know what I'm saying, get us in the fly shit.
Get it popping.
You know what I'm saying? That shit is the Puffy effect.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think people talk about that shit enough. Like, how many jobs was created because he was the kind of nigga he was? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, real jobs. Not like no motherfucking, okay, you some type of assistant or weed roller shit. Like, real fucking urban marketing was built on the back of that nigga, man.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That aspirational marketing was built on the back of his... The shit that he was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The shit that he learned from Andre Harrell, but gave it a youthful fucking face and a youthful feel.
Right.
So I definitely got to give that nigga some props. Well, yeah. I'm at the brunch.
So slap his hand, gonna let him know then.
I'm gonna slap his hand and let him know. That. He probably, you know what I'm saying?
Probably I hear it all the time, but nah, it's real.
You know what I'm saying?
Real,
like, it's, you know what I'm saying?
That's shit. Real. Give him his flowers.
You give him his flowers. Like, he need his flowers.
He's an inspirational.
And you know what I'm saying? He done been through a lot. You know what I'm saying? I know sometimes he feel like other motherfuckers be shining and shit and shit. But shit, man.
I'll be honest with you. I like the Evolve Puff, Evolve J, even though you don't see it as much. But Evolve Puff is like a little bit more transparent, a little bit more vulnerable, mm-hmm. a little bit more... maybe empathetic, you know what I mean? Like, he's still powerful, but it's a different offense. You
right.
know what I mean? I think he's kind of fallen back over the last couple years in a way, because you know Puff used to be in your face. Puff right. was, you know, he was blatant about his takeover.
Right
now he's kind of out. You know, he's still obviously he's still a force, but he seems a little bit more comfortable with just. Just, you know, coming through, you know, recognizing the moment, but he's like, you know, I see some of his Instagram videos and shit like that where he's like about mental health and about, you know, going through certain things and shit like that.
Well, he's been going through shit for a long time. And he's always been on that shit. He's always been on, that's the difference between them cats. Like, even when he was popping,
right.
young and popping,
mm-hmm.
he would still, like, write a column. And
right, see, BRE, I didn't read a lot of his
shit. You know what I'm saying? He
yeah.
used to write columns and talk about the business and
right.
just like the shit he said at the Grammy shit the other night.
Yeah.
About he used to write columns about shit like that, you right. know, da 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 da, and what we should do as you know what I'm saying. He always understood that it was more than just what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was always kind of throwing it to, hey, listen to this, and he understood that his words
his role.
Was powerful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even when he had a role,
right.
he was inserting himself as, I'm going to tell you some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which don't always come across in his public imagery.
Right.
But it's always been there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't never seen Jay-Z write an article or shit about some shit.
Not that I can remember.
You know what I'm saying? He'll say his shit in his raps.
Here and there.
He say his shit in his raps. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's just... His freestyle game in that type of space is not as strong as his going to booth and drop that shit. That's his art. That's his what he do.
I think Jay-Z, I think he's profound in his own way, but I think he's one of them cats. He's like one of the few cats that could still leverage Mystique. Right. He's like, especially in this era, like Mystique is damn near out the window.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he one of the few motherfuckers that people still want to talk to that is really not present in social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He got some advocates or whatever, but he's not out there as himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's very selective about when it come out, what his messaging is and all of that. You know, But yeah, man, I definitely back to the Puff situation. You know, I definitely appreciate that. I saw his the Grammy speech. I saw him trying to, you know, mobilize the game and see what's what, and, you know, kind of make a bit of an ultimatum or like kind of lean on him. I'm curious to see how that'll roll out. You know, I don't know if it's just because maybe it goes year by year, and obviously with the whole, you know, the Kobe tragedy or whatever. But to me, the Grammys didn't really seem as important as they, you know what I mean? Like,
because yeah, I mean, it was nobody important to you. You know
that, I mean, that's really probably what it is. Like I said, year by year, but what, even still,
what's the old girl who won all this?
Billie Eilish.
She wasn't in your zeitgeist.
No, but I'm not surprised she won, because I did see a lot of coverage on her coming through. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm never surprised. You know what I mean? Like, right, that type of shit. But even still, maybe it's just the zeitgeist. And it's always, it comes in waves and shit. But it's just like, you know, the whole Fife Dawg, I never let a statue tell me how nice I am. I don't need this validation from these people that really ain't checking for me anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? This committee that has been established well before I made my impact to let me know that my impact is real.
Right. It's the people. It's the streets.
You know what I mean? And even with Billie Eilish, when she was with it, I caught a little bit when I got back. I saw her where she was with. She was shit. Motherfuckers was coming to the mic with no types of speech. Right. Like, you know what? Still,
on,
nigga.
It's grown people coming to the mic without a
speech. No, I'm just saying, but
I don't even know what you're talking about.
My point is, if you nominated, I don't give a fuck if you 11. If you nominated, somebody in your camp need to be like, put some words together. Because if you nominated, there is a possibility, even if you feel deep in your soul, you might not win this shit, or you feel like you know what I mean, these people, you outclassed or whatever, this album was better or whatever. Honor the ceremony. If we gonna go to the ceremony, you gonna get a fit and you gonna do all this shit, then go ahead and put a paragraph or two together. Nigga, if you would put some shit in your yearbook, you 18, whatever, but if this is your senior year, put a quote out there, whatever the fuck, have something to say.
But it might just
you be, an artist.
It might just be, you know what I'm saying, to her mystique and to her cool,
right,
to not give a fuck, to just be unaffected by the shit.
Right, you know it could
saying?
Be.
You know, and that feel a whole lot better than, you know, oh my God, I'm so happy, oh my God. And then next year when you lose, you're like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
What you mean?
Just like sad and shit. Like maybe she don't buy into the whole system, just like we don't buy into the whole system.
You don't even have to buy into the system. Even with Drake, I don't know if it was AMA or Grammy or whatever shit, he didn't buy into the system, but he had a speech talking about how he ain't buying into the system. And y'all shouldn't buy into the system either. But it was like, I know I'm about to be on that mic for a second. Right. And I know I'm going to have the attention of the Academy and whomever else and all of my peers and my motherfuckers. I don't want to just be pulling shit out my ass like, yo, you know, nigga, I didn't think it was going to happen. You know what I mean? I'm just, you know what I mean? Shout out to Ariana. You should have won this shit, but you know what I mean? You didn't. But, shit, peace to the fans, I guess. Nigga, get the fuck out of here.
People probably love that shit.
They probably love it.
They like,
maybe I'm getting too old. I'm like, man, put some shit together. I'm an old ownery.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like when motherfuckers be like, when Usher won and shit, right, for Yeah. And then Lil Jon tried to get on stage. And they were like, man, why he trying to get on stage? Usher won it. But he produced the shit. It was his whole shit. Like,
yeah, that's his Yeah.
It was his whole shit. Right. But then Usher kind of played him like he ain't want him up there and shit. It was like a moment.
I got to watch that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it was like, you know, Usher was being all super professional about the shit. But then it was like Lil Jon didn't get his chance to fucking shine.
Right.
And all we cared about was Lil Jon fucking shining, because he was killing that shit that year.
Mm-hmm.
The year before that, you know what I'm saying, nigga was killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of got shut down, with his exuberance got shut down. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, ah, damn, he would have had some shit to say. But people were like, oh, he was so fucking ghetto. He doesn't need to be up there. Why does he need to be?
Did he say anything or no?
Nah, he got shut down.
He got shut down.
Usher shut this shit down. Like, come on.
But I bet you he had some shit to say.
He did.
See?
He was ready.
And the fact that we still talking about that shit show, you got to come with some intention. Respect that shit. Respect the summons. Respect the be grateful. Like, it's almost, it's part of gratitude. It's like, yo, if I'm a celebrate you, you know what I mean? Like, just shit, prepare for it. Like, this ain't, we ain't spring this shit on you. I ain't just call you at your house while you were sleeping.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you got to.
It's the Grammy Awards. Like, this is the shit that's in your fucking, your press release, your obituary, Grammy Award winning, Grammy Award nominated.
Hey, man, remember when, I remember when hip hop was just starting to get nominated for shit, and niggas get up there and be like, yeah, shout out to my man back on the block, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Queens, you're out of here, you know what I'm saying? Word up.
Even that, though. Grab your dick and leave. But even that, though, was like, yo,
wasn't prepared. The nigga just did the shit.
But I'm sure nigga was like, yo, if a nigga shout me, if they give me the shit, I'm shouting out my block, I'm shouting out my hood. You remember fucking Brooklyn, we got it. When Big won, whatever, the Source Award or whatever, right. You remember Dre, like, the South got something to say. Right. Like, you remember motherfuckers got some shit that they gonna put out there because they know it's the time for the shit to be on them. You know what I mean?
That is still ghetto.
All of that up. Yeah, well, fuck it, nigga. You gotta be ghetto, but at least you ghetto with intention. You know what I'm saying? You ain't just, I had no clue, nigga. Stop it, man. But it is what it is, man. You got anything else you want to talk to the people about before we get out of here?
That's it, brother.
All right, well, shit. Man. Let the people know where you're going to be at, man.
I'm going to be in Brooklyn, brother.
Oh,
you know
shit.
What I'm saying? You can catch me on the gram at Mr. Muhammad. On Twitter at Mr. Muhammad.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That's it right here.
Yeah, that's what's up. Shit, I'll be in Brooklyn, too, this Saturday. At Eastville Comedy Club, the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock. Come fuck with me. What's your pick for the Super Bowl? Who you think will win? I'm just going to say Mahomes on the Chiefs just because I found out he was black with four episodes ago. But what's your pick? Who you got?
I guess I'll go for motherfucking Mahomes.
There you go.
Always bet on black.
There it is. Well, shit. All right. Well, shit. Until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend to get in the conversation.
Hello. To be in the conversation.